Housing, would call this meeting to order. Flag is on my right, your left, it's next to your flag, please, put it.
To the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, all nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. We'll have public participation. Try to limit to as little time as we can regarding this evening's agenda items only. There's a microphone up here, please record, state your name and the agenda item you want to address. Going once? Twice? So the first thing we need board members is to approve the revised 13-14 budget. Going on all day, back and forth, changes. We must have the revised one. Last question, based on the lawyers and business office, what we need to do and the time frame we need to do. So, any questions? In favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? So, one note of change is June 10th. We had that scheduled for the 6th, June 10th, the budget hearing. Superintendent, what are yours?
In light of the recent budget vote elections, we have for a presentation tonight, the participation in government classes review of their days that was conducted at the exit poll. And at this point, Mr. Tatey, would I turn this over to you?
I'm going to turn the floor over to Rob Edwards, our statistics teacher, and Paul Cardentino, our participation coordinator.
So I teach a PIG for 12th grade students. And as a part of a class assignment, we conducted an exit poll at the budget vote. I had a few students out there with a sheet asking a few questions of people as they exited the polls. What we found, very basically, for the most important question, did you vote for the budget, did you not? We found that actually 156 people who answered our questions voted yes for the budget, and 145 voted no, which obviously is the inverse of what actually happened. But we, based on statistical bias, we predicted that it would be close, which it ended up being.
I had my classes take two aspects of the poll and analyze its contribution to the outcome of the budget. Both, so some of their data is, okay, so this is from a student, this is what they came up with. They analyzed both results, and this one thing they came up with. They thought the resident, the town president, the voter lived in, and how they voted, they felt that that was a necessary piece to be analyzed, and this was the results. Okay, so the percentage of yes and no votes in both there and there.
Another thing we thought was very interesting was that people who typically voted yes, okay, many of them voted no. In fact, 98 people voted no out of 145 no's. 98 of those people actually typically vote yes on the budget. So we felt that was a very interesting point to make.
And then this student just looked at where the information was coming from about the budget, and what they saw was both word of mouth was the most influential, followed secondly by the Daily Mail. So those were the three things that were coming from that budget.
And finally, we have the reasons why people voted. The blue being yes, the red being no. The highest red figure we have here is from the grade level realignment. So the biggest reason people voted no was because of the grade level realignment, they indicated. Yes votes for personal experience with the district, quality of education, and support of school programs. We saw a lot of yes votes or indication of the yes. That's why they voted for the budget. We also allowed a space for additional comments. These were the most popular of the comments we saw. We saw people discuss their satisfaction level with the current board, their dissatisfaction with the grade level realignment, and it was frequently referred to as the Princeton Plan. They also referred to where they learned of their information for this. And then we had a nice thank you to the PIC class, too. And stats.
And then these are just suggestions as we're discussing this process of what we would do differently in upcoming years, because we want to keep this process going to great cross-curricular activity, and the kids are really using raw data, and it's really a great learning experience. So we just thought maybe more professional dressing from the PIC students as we're actually gathering the data. Conducting multiple exit polls is counterproductive. People have collected valuable, consistent data. So maybe just one group doing an exit poll. And then electronic-based statistics and graphs. We took what was the student-produced graphs and put them on the Excel worksheet. They were actually hand-drawn, things like that. So. We're going to push them to use more computer-based technology for their producing their graph next year. And then we thought that we would add collection information on family income level to draw a correlation between income level and whether it needs to get the money. So these are things we want to do this year.
Hey.
Options we have going forward. Please hold your comments, questions to the
Yeah. Participation. Thank you. Can you hear me? The floor is now open to Jeff and Lisa from the business office. You're going to make a presentation on the board's options going forward. Please hold your comments regarding their presentation to the public participation portion of the meeting. Thank you.
My name is Jeff Ferriello. I'm the new business manager for the district. I'll be replacing Lisa DeWitt, who is leaving on June 10th. Can everybody hear me? Step forward.
Hand that to them.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
All right. Oh, I don't want to be saying it. I'm sorry, buddy. My name is Jeff Mariello. I'm the new business manager for the district. I will be replacing Lisa DeLeck, whose last day will be June 10th. I will basically just be speaking for a minute regarding the options that the board has tonight and the decisions they will make, and just roughly going over the timeline to make that decision. First, the purpose of this meeting, three basic options the board has. One, as you all know, the budget, first budget presented was defeated. The board can choose to resubmit the defeated budget in the way that it was presented already. They can submit a revised budget, modify the existing budget and resubmit and submit that. Or they can go straight into a contingency budget, which Lisa, when I turn it over, will explain a little bit more. Basic timeline we have, today of course is May 30th, you were at the special meeting. Basically, it runs like a regular revote. If the board chooses to do a revote, but the timeline is very similar to the original voting. Applications for absentee ballots are available in my office. This is the district office at 424 Main Street, Payroll. Basically, our budget document will be available on June 3rd. That's the line item budget document that will be available in all buildings and the district office. You can pick them up. Punchlist items, you'll see legal notices for the vote. That's the first of two published notices. June 10th, if we go to a revote, we'll be doing a budget presentation for the either existing or revised budget. So that will be on June 10th. Budget notices will be mailed on June 11th. Then you'll see another legal ad in the paper. Voter registration. We go to a revote. The revote will be June 18th, and the last day that you have to register to vote will be June 11th. So that's very important. Again, absentee ballots, the deadlines are June 11th if the ballot is mailed to the voter, and June 17th if the ballot is hand-delivered to the voter. Finally, before I turn the floor over to Lisa, I'll just go over three options that the board has to make a revised budget. They can reduce expenditures, increase applied fund balance, or decrease the tax levy and more. So with that, I'll turn the floor over to Lisa, and she will go over the financial information for the budget.
Can you hear me without the microphone, or should I use the phone? Is the microphone? Does everybody have a handout? Great. This slide depicts what the voters voted on in May, 2 weeks ago. This is the 12-13 adopted budget, our current existing budget, the proposed 13-14 budget,
and the budget variance. Total expenditures currently are $27,793,936. The proposed was $27,774,958, with a budget variance, a decrease of $18,978. And you can see, for this purpose, the budget was not broken out into the three parts. This is just giving information for the board to decide on what budget category they might want to choose to modify. So as Jeff explained, there are three options. You modify your expenses. You look at your appropriated fund balance and possibly increase that appropriated fund balance. And the last category is the tax levy. This is the revenue sources for our existing 12-13 year. The middle column was the proposed based upon the budget that was voted on. The appropriated fund balance was $1,639,622. That's what was recommended with the budget that was voted on. And the tax levy that was recommended by the board was $12,550,413, a dollar variance of $509,567. Or 4.23%. That was the maximum allowable tax levy that required a 50% plus one simple majority. Okay? I was asked to prepare, what if the board decided to modify the tax levy? The bottom line is the maximum allowable tax levy, 4.23%, raising $509,567. But what if there was a 0% increase? What if there was a 1% increase? This chart basically provides the board guidelines if they choose to modify the tax levy. That's all this chart is doing. It's giving options. Just to recap what happens now, Mr. Morello already explained that we have basically three options. We submit the original budget that was voted on. The board can resubmit a revised budget, or the Board of Education can adopt a contingency budget. If the board decides to present to the budget on June 18, a revised budget or the existing budget, if that is defeated, then the district is required to go directly into a contingent budget. The district cannot start July 1st, 2013 without a budget. So what does a contingency budget look like? The laws changed in 2011, when Governor Cuomo and the legislature approved the property tax cap. All the laws for contingent budgets changed significantly. The most significant change was you cannot have an increase in the tax levy. It is the exact same amount as it would be in 12-13. In the 12-13, our current year tax levy, school tax levy, $12,040,846. There are certain items called non-contingent items that are excluded from a budget. They are salary increases for non-aligned staff, and the dollar amount is listed. And who are the non-aligned staff? Those are those district employees who are not covered by a collective bargaining agreement, such as the director of facilities, the head bus driver, the district treasurer, the transportation supervisor, the district clerk, the business official, the network administrator, and the computer administrator. Certain equipment would be excluded. That amounts to $28,654. There's one line item in the budget, 2630-220, that's the budget code. And it is that equipment which is aided directly from the state, that computer hardware equipment, that is not excluded from a contingency budget. All the other equipment is. Pupil supplies, those supplies that the school district purchases for pupils' use would be excluded. And certain building use. What is an ordinary contingent expense? What does that mean? Those are the expenses in the budget that are authorized by statute, legal obligations of the school district, and those items necessary to maintain the educational program, preserve district property, and assure the health and safety of students and staff. What is an ordinary contingent expense? Teacher salaries. Transportation to and from school programs. Textbooks. Required services for non-public school students. Health services. Special education, legal obligations such as debt service, judgments, court orders. And this is also a change. It used to be, and many people are still under the assumption, that interscholastic athletics is excluded from a contingent budget. That is no longer the case. Expenses incurred for interscholastic athletics, field trips, and other extracurricular activities, including transportation costs associated with these activities, are considered contingent expense. As I mentioned previously, in 2011, New York State has a property tax cap. It's not really a cap. It's not really a 2% cap. That is incorrect. However, the governor did a very good job of selling it to the public as a 2% tax cap. What it is it's a threshold for voter approval. You heard me mention at the very beginning that the tax levy that was proposed required a simple majority. That's one of the thresholds. The other threshold is a super majority. If the board chose to present a tax levy which was higher than the calculated threshold, the budget would have required a super majority of approval, a 60% approval. This calculation varies for each school district. It's an 8-step calculation, and the variables are different for every district. We do the same calculation as Greenville, as Catskill, as Hunter-Hannersville, as Albany. However, everyone's variables are different. starts with the prior year tax levy. Again, this is the calculation for 13-14. The prior year tax levy, the 12-13 tax levy, is $12,040,846. Applied to that is a tax-based growth factor. Well, where did you get that from, Lisa? Well, the state assigns us, the school district, a tax-based growth factor. It cannot be lower than one. And it's exactly as it's stated, tax-based, your assessed values. Has the district seen any growth in home starts? The state says, Carrow Durham, you're at 1.0. The district adds in prior year pilot payment in lieu of taxes, that is GSK pilot, of 317,819. We subtract out any prior year exemptions. What's an exemption? It can be for teachers' retirement, it can be for employees' retirement, it can be for the capital tax levy or court orders. Last year was 256. 742. So now it's the adjusted prior year levy. I know, I'm sorry, this is boring. The allowable growth factor, the lesser of the CPI or 2%, and that's where the 2% comes in. This year the CPI was greater, so 2% was applied to the adjusted prior year levy. Subtract out the pilots for the coming year. Again, that's Glasgow-Smith Kline. The school district has a flat pilot payment from GSK. That is derived the tax levy limit before exclusions. And what's an exclusion? Certain pension costs for the employee's retirement system or the teacher's retirement system. If it goes up more than 2 percentage points, not 2%, 2 percentage points, and any capital levy. For Carrow Durham, the maximum allowable tax levy calculation is $12,550,413. So you can see it's not 2% times the prior year levy. It's a very complicated calculation. So let's talk about what happened last year. Last year, when folks voted, the tax levy increase represented a 3.8% increase. Was that the maximum allowable tax levy? Yes, it was. Did the board go over that maximum allowable? No. They choose to stay at the simple majority. What was a tax rate increase? What's the difference between a tax levy and a tax rate? The tax levy is the dollar amount the school district is requesting to levy. Total dollar amount of money needed from taxes, $12,040,846. The tax rate calculation involves assessed values, which we receive from the towns in July, and equalization rates, which the district receives from the state in August. We have no control. For the town of Carrow, their taxes increased 4.49%, their school taxes. For the town of Durham, their school taxes increased by 3.55%. Why? Because of assessed values and equalization rates. What if I had a house assessed at $150,000? What did I pay in school taxes? This is without the STAR exemption. House in the town of Carrow was $2,981.69, and a house in the town of Durham was $3,069.39. Well, what is someone's tax bill increased by if the maximum allowable levy was utilized for 13-14. In other words, the budget that was presented, what would our tax increase look like? For a town of Cairo resident, they would show a $128.27 increase. In the town of Durham, it's $132.03. That is providing equalization values and assessed values and equalization rates are exactly the same as 12-13. We do not know those numbers. The school district will not know those numbers until August. The board also asked me to provide information on the mandate-only budget. I did not prepare this information. Dr. Pollack provided this information in January, and he just looked at the instructional portion of the budget only. What would the major impacts be to Cairo Durham if we had a mandate-only budget? And it's shocking and very disturbing. No kindergarten, elementary art, elementary music, elementary technology education, maximum contractual class enrollment. Middle school and high school reverts to a regular 9-period schedule instead of a block schedule. There would be very limited elective courses, no after-school use of facilities, no interscholastic athletics, no extracurricular activities or clubs, no memberships, no teacher supplies, no transportation of students except what's specified in Ed Law. Non-instructional supervision of students would be provided by teachers, including outside playground and cafeteria supervision. No textbooks, software, library materials in excess of state-aided amounts. What would it mean? It would mean a decrease of $4.3 million, and it would devastate the district.
Pilot.
What does a pilot mean? The school district What is the pilot payment?
Nicely.
Green County Industrial Development Agency will enter into a pilot payment in lieu of taxes agreement with a business. It's supposed to be a business. Such as Glasgow Smith Kline. Does the school district have any say? No. We take what we get. Are we afforded the opportunity to speak at a public comment session? Absolutely. What the Green County IDA and Glasgow Smith Kline negotiated on their behalf was a restructuring of two existing payment in lieu of tax agreements, and it also folded in 5 properties that were on the assessment rolls in the town of Durham. Well, what does that mean? It means those 5 properties that originally were generating tax revenue were taken off of the assessment roll. And what happened was, instead of a graduated pilot agreement. The school district would receive graduated amounts every year. The school district was dealt with a flat pilot payment of $317,819 over a period of 10 years, which cost the district $1.4 million of revenue. Is that nice?
What's the number of those contingencies? It's not 4.3, but is it 509,000?
Yeah, it comes off. 509 comes off.
A 0%
increase. Thank you very much. So that's the four options, ladies and gentlemen. Do you have any ideas? We go to contingency, we lose those things.
That's representing 500.
Correct. It's fund balance. The only way to make it up is fund balance, first of all, program. The mandate only budget does say kindergarten as mentor, but that would include no pre-K too in the mandatory only budget. That's not mandate plus pre-K. So that's universal pre-K. So that would come out to So, what does the board want to do? I said that beforehand that we wouldn't go directly to the same exam. Well, contingency, yes. I think we're in full agreement with that. So that's not enough. So then we need to work on the dollar amount to change it or leave it as is and pick up again in the same time. What was the dollar amount that we put back into the fund balance? Just to clarify, because I've heard out there on some misinformation that we used no fund balance for this year's budget, and we did 1.639. Fund balance we utilized in this budget. Right.
Well, so, this would be an less fund balance because we have to see it's a state recommended percentage that we have as a reserve.
In fund
balance. In fund balance. Yes. And we're putting the extra 60,000 back from when we changed it from 3.23 to 4.23. The intention was to add that. Hopefully, the state will give us more funds next year. So, fund balance. If we reduce it by that,
it's like 3.7 change.
I would assume 3.7 or
if you go by that sheet, page
3.7, 3.74.
It's not 3.75. It's not a little more. That was the put 60. We put more than 60. We took another 60 and used it for staffing. That we took out modified sports, so we in effect cut modified sports in hopes that it would be fundraised on that. So it wasn't just 60 that we cut there, it was 120 and change.
As far as recommendations are, educational changes, on current plan, teacher changes, help change there, if anything.
Taking $60,000 back out of fund balance and put it towards the tax budget. What's the, since UBK is not mandated, doesn't affect every student district or even the larger portion, what's the cost of UBK?
$37,000.
cost is actually more than that, some of the money is funded in resources.
25, but some of it is.
37, 379.
Does like the UPK program, but it's just one of the options. It's not mandated by the state. It's not something we only do in care of. Any other? Mr. Hoffman. So the 60? Drop the tax levy to roughly 3.75. Do you have the exact number, Lisa? I'm sorry. Get your phones out. So what Bob Criswell is recommending in this side of the table we had some discussion on is we had taken $120,000 and placed part of it back into hiring staff back and cutting modified sports. And 60,000 back into fund balance. So,
no.
Nothing to do with changing
for readdressing the great global realignment which has passed through this room and been approved.
That's really wrong.
Can we take further discussion on an action and make a motion? Move to approve the budget.
Restoring 60,000 to the fund.
It's the same, no, it's the same number. The number is still going, the budget going forth to the public is, we just get the appropriation of the whole. It's 27, right. The budget is still going to be 27,774,958. What will change is the amount of money that he as a board have approved. No, the amount of money, the bottom line is going to be the same.
The budget number is still the same.
Budget number is still going to be the same. What is going to change is the appropriated fund balance. The appropriated fund balance is going to go from 1,639,622. It's going to increase to 1,699,622, thereby reducing the tax levy to 3.7%.
All right. And I will complete this
thing. No, you don't.
No, you don't.
So then, Bob has a motion on the floor. We have a second. We have discussion on said motion on the floor. Is that there? No more discussion? So everybody's happy with that. So we put this up again, 60,000. Unfortunately, the newspaper is not here. Where?
Right here.
Here you are.
Oh, I'm sorry. The newspaper is here. So that's good, so we can get the information out. We have other discussion. No? Everybody's happy with that.
No.
No, none of the public seems to be very happy, or most of the public.
Teachers clap. Aye. So that is a yes, Mr. Plank is absent. I apologize for not being here early. He got called into work, so the motion passes. To put 60,000 from fund balance, whatever we said.
I wrote it down.
Is that an official vote?
That was an official vote, yes.
Just one time to get a roll call, it wasn't official.
So we need to approve, so now that we can go down that, so then it's 5B to approve the legal notice for same budget vote, revote. Billy moved. Second.
I'll second.
Any seconds? All in favor? Opposed? Abstention? So moved. Now we will go to public participation. Yes, you may come up to the non-microphone and
my name is Minna Byrne, and I have three children in this district, one in high school, one in middle school, and one in Carroll Elementary, taxpayer, and also an employee. Mrs. Fassett and members of the Board of Education, I want to take a few minutes of your time and explain to you in person the situation I have found myself in regarding my job. First, I would like to give you an overview of my employment at Carroll Durham.
This is a personal matter. You are the one that's making it a public
absolutely.
More than likely will not say anything.
That's fine.
Okay.
That's fine.
It's just personnel issues that we've never discussed.
That's fine.
Okay.
That's fine.
Let's go.
I have been an employee of the district almost 29 years this September and have the civil service title of clerk typist. For the first 24 years, I was the accounts payable clerk in the district office. As most of you know, I was taken out of the district office October 31st, 2008, and told to work in the transportation office until further notice. In January 2009, my week consisted of working in the Durham Elementary Library, in the Carroll Elementary with Kevin Lawton, athletic director's office, and transportation office. Several months later, my duties were halted with Kevin Lawton, and I spent more time in Durham. This past September, I was asked to meet with Dr. Pollack and Lisa Gillette in the district office. I was then told my assignment was going to change once again. Dr. Pollack informed me that I was to report to Carroll Elementary and be the copy person for the teachers. That seemed absolutely confusing to me, especially because I told him there were five offices I could think of right away in the middle school and high school that could use extra help. He stated he wanted the aides and TAs to stay in the classrooms and not copy for their teachers anymore. Although I have enjoyed working in Carroll Elementary helping the teachers any way I can, and I know it has been much appreciated, paying the most senior person to make copies instead of helping out several busy offices which really needed the help was once again very confusing to me, but I could read the writing on the walls. A few weeks ago, I was asked to attend a meeting with Mrs. Fassett and Mr. Richards. Mrs. Fassett informed me that my position with the district would no longer be needed because she could not justify paying the most senior person to make copies. I totally agree with her. As a taxpayer, that was my feeling the first day I learned about my new job. However, since I am the most senior person, it should not be me that is being laid off. Having said that, I told Mrs. Fassett that I am at the top of the seniority list and should not be the one getting laid off. She said that since I am the only clerk typist, I am on my own list. This, however, is not so. Let me explain this to you now. The two civil service titles in question are clerk typist and microcomputer operator. The clerk typist title was used for all office workers until about 15 or 16 years ago. At that time, Dr. Stern, our superintendent, wanted to change the title to microcomputer operator. He discussed this title change with the business manager, John Smith, and the CSEA, including our unit president at the time, Judy Fremgen. The points discussed were as follows. None of the clerk typists would be expected to take the civil service test for microcomputer operator. The clerk typists would stay in their same jobs and perform their same duties. The clerk typist would continue to receive all of their current benefits. The clerk typist would also remain on the seniority list as is, and the new microcomputer operators would be added to the same list under the clerk typist. This change of title would not affect the seniority list. In other words, the clerk typist would be grandfathered in. The microcomputer operator title would begin to phase out the clerk typist title through attrition purposes. The intention was the two titles would be in one category, clerk typist slash microcomputer operator. Once again, through attrition, the clerk typist title would be phased out until the last clerk typist retired. Several of the clerk typists have retired, such as Judy Fremgen, Carol Lowden, Joanne Mullaney, Maria Pamela, Dolores Post, just to name a few, and were replaced with microcomputer operators. The postings were not for clerk typists, but for microcomputer operators, as was agreed upon. If this wasn't true, and the two titles were separate, why then, when the other clerk typist retired, and when my position as accounts payable became vacant, was the posting not for a clerk typist? Instead, the district posted all of these vacancies for a microcomputer operator, which tells me that the district understood the agreement. Lateral transfers could happen between clerk typists and microcomputer operators as they were in the same category. The intention was never to hurt the clerk typist in any way, but to phase out the title eventually through attrition. To support these statements, I have letters from John Smith, Judy Fremgen, and Marianne Sawyer, who was the superintendent's secretary and clerk of the board at the time. Marianne recalls being included in the private conversations as she took the confidential notes for Dr. Stern. John Smith said his notes would have been in his civil service file, which he left in his files in the business manager's office when he retired. I believe their letters are clear to the intentions and understanding of these two titles. As unit president and clerk typist, Judy Franken would never have agreed to any of this if it was going to hurt the clerk typist in the membership, as she was a clerk typist too. Last week, I gave these three letters to Mrs. Fassett. I have copies of these three letters for each board member and will give them to you tonight. In reading them, I hope you too will see the clear and honest intention here for these two titles and reconsider this layoff so that I may continue working in the district until it's time for me to retire. My belief is if I was still in the accounts payable position, I would not be getting laid off and this would not even be an issue. In closing, I would like to thank you for your time and attention. It has been a pleasure working for the district all of these years as I have come to know so many good people who have come and gone and those that are currently here. I have been blessed to have worked in all four schools and want you to know how special the people are in all of our buildings. I ask Jesus every morning to help me make the right choices each day in my life and to help my kids make the right choices for theirs. I now pray that Jesus will help each and every one of you to do the right thing, look at the facts, and make the right choice. Thank you.
I do want to bring up a point of information, just so that it's clear, and maybe in the minutes it clears everyone. But my understanding is that you just voted to put take $60,000 from the fund balance to be applied to the budget that you're going to be presented, and you made a motion and you moved on that motion, but you did not make a motion to officially represent the budget as you just made. Do you understand what I'm saying? What I'm saying is you made a motion to take $60,000 from the fund balance to be presented at this new budget. But then you should have made another motion to say that you are going to present the new budget with this amount. Do you understand what I'm saying? With all due respect, that's the proper parliamentarian procedure way of doing it.
Part of the motion was dollar amount.
But then you should have said, this is the budget that we are presenting. You never officially said that that was what you were doing. You were saying this is the amount. And then, I'm just saying for clarification, and I think that's kind of why somebody said, is that the vote? Because you didn't vote on the budget. You voted on the amount that you're going to change in the budget. That's what I'm saying. Just with all due respect, it wasn't officially voted that this is the budget that you're going to present to the public.
The budget number you were presenting to the public is the same budget number.
But the amount is now changed, and I just would feel better if you made a motion that just said that this is the official budget.
But it's semantics that you're talking about. We're talking about the same amount.
I understand, but I understand, and I said with all due respect, I'm a pretty familiar parliamentarian, and I just feel that it should be written in the minutes with an official vote, because in the past there have been a lot of questions about some of your votes that you have done, whether they were just to do this or that. So with all due respect, I would just suggest that you make a motion and say this is the budget that you've done. On that note, I do have two students in the district, a kindergartner and a second grader, and I will publicly voice that I am not in favor of the realignment, but sometimes in life we have to do things that we don't agree with, so I'm going to go with it because I have to, but I'll be honest that if I was able to two other options for my children, I probably would, because I really don't feel that it's the best. But like I said, we're allowed to our votes, we're allowed to our opinions, and I just want to say that. But I do appreciate the fact that you are looking in the best interest, because I do believe that the tax levy did have a little bit to do with the vote. It had a little bit to do with my decision. Everybody's penny pinching, I'm penny pinching, And even if we wanted to move, it's difficult to sell. So I do appreciate that you did reconsider numbers and not taking any staff cuts. And I'm just hoping that it will pass this time. Thank you.
Thank you.
Jenny Rogers. I just didn't know if the board was aware that the new bid specs have gone out for your transportation maintenance and repair. But I was curious, if any of you are aware, or maybe the business office could answer this question, why, when no one placed any bids in November, would you turn around and send out almost the exact same specs?
That was recommended by the experts that came in and looked at our
transportation. Oh, for the Transportation Advisory Service?
Yes.
Okay, those were your specs that were put out in August, and then Dr. Pollack made changes, and there were specs that were put out in November. You had absolutely no bids in November.
The board decided not to change them.
According to those, the board decided not to change them?
The board then went and said, we want to change the bid specs. That means the board did not decide not to change them.
Oh, so you guys were all aware that the bid specs were coming out. I want to ask each individual voting member of the board. You were aware that the bid specs were going out according to last November's bids?
I was aware that the bid specs were going out. I was also aware that no changes had been made since they went out last time.
And you remember that the last time they went out, absolutely no one bid. Beth, same question? Pat Taylor?
Sue?
Carl? I'm sorry? You knew they were coming out, you knew there were no changes, you knew that no one bid on them in November. So you just... Okay, so you were aware, though, that they were going out last week and they weren't making any changes for November. Okay. Mr. Criswell? Billy? Yeah, thanks.
Any other public participation? Time for public participation. It's not for the case for Dean and ask any questions. Okay, Lisa, does a change need to be made in the motion set forward on the budget? Lisa, Jack.
We are voting on a dollar amount. I'm giving you a shift of revenue. That's it. If the board chooses to clarify the revenue, but I believe that the attorney will say about the
What do you want to say?
Right.
The dollar amount?
How about offered that you brought in? $7,774,000. 33.73%. All other areas would stay the same. If that comes.
You think so? Seconded by Bob, all in favor? Any opposition? Any abstentions? So moved. I would just like to address the Minna Byrne issue, since she did bring it up. It is an issue between the district lawyers and the union. So it is an ongoing issue. Anytime anybody is laid off in the district, the union gets in touch with the district and makes a seniority list. The board has no part in that whatsoever. We just approve whatever positions we want to lay off. That's it. Okay? Thank you. I need a motion to end the meeting. Billy and Beth Phillips, all in favor? Opposed? Attention? Nope. Thank you.